I'm glad to know the Lord. I'm glad for Sundays. I'm glad to set aside the first day of the week to serve the Lord and worship the Lord and kind of get refreshed in the Lord. I know I sure do need it. And I pray that God will bless this service today. We want to look at verse 23 of Luke chapter 9. I tell you what I want you to do. Just want you to hold that. And we're going to read as a text and just save a little bit of time up in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And you just hold that Luke 23 because you're going to need it pretty soon. And you might just kind of hold both these passages of Scripture. Before I read the text, I want to give you a little bit of background in both. You know what I'm, when we say the synoptic gospels, what we mean is that the gospels go together. They give, all of them are from four different viewpoints. They give different accounts of Jesus' life and so forth, but they all harmonize. They all harmonize. And some emphasize this about Christ and some emphasize that about Christ. When you get to the point that you're at in the Gospels here in Luke 9 and John chapter 6, there's huge, huge crowds following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's estimated that between at least 20,000 up to 30,000 people are following Jesus Christ if he comes out into the public and goes somewhere, that's the crowds would start flooding down through the small roads and hitting the road to wherever Christ was. That's a lot of people, especially if they're traveling on foot. When you get to John chapter 6 and verse number 66, the Bible says this. Well, let's look at verse number 2. Let's flip back to verse number 2 of chapter 6, just to give you a perspective of where I'm wanting to go at this morning, what I want to convey while I preach. I have a specific thing I want to do to help you grow in the Lord and to help you stay in the saddle when the going gets tough. John chapter 6, verse number 2. Is everybody there? Say amen. And a great multitude. Now, if God says a great multitude, I don't know how many that is, but if you just figure about the people that were at the bread and the fishes and so forth, men, then figure the women, figure the average group of children, a great multitude followed him. And here's why they were following him. Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them, that were diseased. The Bible's real clear. The great multitudes were following Jesus Christ because he was healing and doing miracles on them. Different miracles. They loved it. And they were following him. We're in the same chapter. Look at verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. From verse 2 to verse 66, you have great multitudes in verse number 2. And by the time you get to verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And in fact, in both Luke and John, it records that in just a little bit, in a few days, the only guys around him were Peter, James, and John. Now, how in the world does it get to where there's 25 or 30,000 people following you, and all of a sudden, many of them, the Bible said, it wasn't just that it wasn't church time, they said many of them went back and followed him no more. They quit following Jesus. And we need to find out what's going on here. The Bible said in verse 67, Jesus, he turned unto the 12. Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, that words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, help us to preach today. I pray, Lord, help us to preach in such a way, Lord, it'll build up the saints of God and strengthen them. I pray that you'll preach this truth through me. Just use me as a vessel this morning. I pray you'd forgive me of all my sin and wickedness, Lord, iniquity, that I'd be clean for you to preach through today. Lord, I don't even know why you use men to preach. We're so sorry and low down and wicked. And yet, Heavenly Father, you've chosen through the foolishness of preaching that folks would be saved. You've, Lord, chosen preaching and pastoring and preaching of the Word of God to grow and mature the saints of God. And Lord, I pray today that you'll burn this message into our souls. It'll become part of who we are. And we'll remember it, Lord, as we go down the road of our faith, walk of faith. God, today I pray that you'll search hearts that are here, all of us, as to why we are following Jesus Christ. God, help us to be honest with ourselves today. Shine the light of the Holy Ghost upon us and make us to see ourselves as we truly are. And know, Lord, give us the grace of God to respond in a way that's right, biblical, and honoring to the Lord and glorifying to God. Lord, I pray today those that may be here and lost, they're a one heartbeat from hell. I pray, God, you'd save them today. And I pray the Lord, even while they're listening, that whisper in their heart to you God, save me right here and right now. God, I pray, save people here today in Jesus' name. And through this broadcast, we pray, save people. Amen and amen. As I said just a little bit ago, Jesus has kind of a funny problem here. He got too many people coming to church. You don't ever hear preachers say that nowadays, do you? Just too many folks are coming. Really, it wasn't the big crowds. It was another problem. But as you go through the first 8 chapters of Luke, you see several things and you begin to get a picture of it. You start to see the whole picture come together. Most people in America, most churches in America right now do anything. They'll have Roy Rogers and pony shows, rock bands, circuses, movie stars, country western stars, Dolly Parton. They'll do anything. They'll get smoke up on the stage. Who can eat the most hot dogs contest to get people to come to church. Now, I'm not against doing special things to have people come to church, but I just found out if you do that very much, you got to keep on doing it. You got to have more hot dogs the next time and a wilder group the next time. And, I want to tell you something. If just coming to worship Jesus Christ isn't enough to keep you coming all the time, we ain't never going to be enough to do to entertain you to keep you coming. Sometime you're going to say, well, they didn't entertain me enough this week. I ain't going back next week. You got to come for the right reasons in order to keep coming. But I want to illustrate to you, these crowds are coming down through there, and I don't have a microphone here, but I'll use this. I don't think that thing's going to go very far. But I want you just to imagine this morning that you're on some road, and you're out there and over in Israel, and you see all these people coming down the road, and they're just coming out of these lanes, and they're coming out of the side roads. And I mean, pretty soon it's just masses of people and hundreds of people and then 500 people and then 1,000 people and then 2,000 people, and the dust is rising up and people coming. And you know what? I believe CNN would have sent a reporter down and said, what in the world's going on there? Why are you folks, where are you folks going? Why are you going there? He said, we're going to follow Jesus. And I believe you'd read in your Bible, in the book of Luke, you start finding out why they were following Jesus. And one old reporter sticks a mic in front of a guy and says, what? Where are you going? He said, I'm going to follow Jesus. Why are you going to follow Jesus? Why are you following Jesus? And I want to show in the Bible why they were following Jesus. Back in Luke chapter 6 and verse 19 and in Matthew chapter 12, and don't turn it because we're going to go too fast. But the Bible said that there were multitudes came to Jesus with diseases and they were sick and diseases. And the Bible said he healed them all. Didn't say healed part of them. He healed them all. So here's this reporter asking Brother Phil, said, why do these folks come to Jesus? Oh, listen, if you go to follow Jesus, you'll get healed, Benny Hinn. Do you want to know why so many people at Benny Hinn festivals? Because he's telling them they can get healed. And people, the Bible says, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you're just following Jesus for what he can make, oh, so somebody can pray for me and I'll get better and I'll get healed. You are following Jesus for the wrong reason and it's not going to last. But these people were, I'm telling you something, if you want to see this place packed out, let me put in the paper next week that Benny Hinn's going to be here and he's going to be healing all that's afflicted with diseases. We'll carry you in from the highways. If I said Oral Roberts was coming in or some big healer, you would not believe the people that would be here at church next Sunday. Am I telling you the truth or not? I mean, they'll flood this place. They said, why are you following Jesus for? Why, I follow Jesus. You'll never get sick again. Don't have to buy medicine. Won't be in the hospital. Won't ever need to go to the doctor. You feel good all the time. Woo! Who don't want to feel good all the time? He'll take your headaches away. He'll slap you on the head. Everything will be fine. He'll slay you in the spirit. I mean, tell you what, man, you're going to get healed. Woo! Let's follow Jesus so we can feel good all the time. Never be sick. Never have a flu. Never have... I wonder if any of those people have the flu that go to Benny Hinn services. Does any of them ever get a snotty nose? Wonder why he doesn't heal them. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang on. Then I see some more coming down the road, and a Fox News sends a reporter out there, and he sticks some out and says, hey, where are you going? Well, I'm following Jesus Christ. Well, what are you following him for? Well, let me just tell you why I'm following Jesus for. Me and my buddies, we have a fishing boat. And we was out the other night fishing. We didn't even so much as catch a minnow. We fished all night long, did not catch one stinking fish. Jesus came to us. You know what he said? He's got a fish finder. And he told us, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. We did. Throw them out there, Brother Terry. Couldn't take all the fish in. We had to get our buddies to pull them all in. Call the other little boats in. We had fish. We took them to town. We got rich. Jesus helps our finances. He blesses our businesses. Serve Jesus. He'll bless your business. That's why you're following Jesus. Yeah. Man, we got down fish market. We blew everybody else out. We could put ours. We had so many fish. We could mark them down a little bit and sold fish to everybody. Never made so much money in my life since I started following Jesus. So what do you say? What did you say you was following Jesus for? Well, I've been feeling good. I get healed all the time. I mean, tell you what, he makes me feel good. I don't ever get sick, man. What are you following Jesus for? Why, good land living makes my business better. I never got so blessed in my life. I went to church, I dropped her in it. Whoa! The more I give, the more I make. That's why I'm following Jesus. Here comes another bunch down the road. The reporter runs up, sticks the mic in his head and says, where are you going? I guess you're following Jesus. Yeah, I'm following Jesus. What are you following Jesus for? Oh, let me tell you. My life used to be full of storms. Every day was a storm. I'll tell you what, we was out on the boat the other night, and the storm came up, and the floods and the waves came up and come inside the boat, and it looked like we was going to sink, and we called on Jesus. We began to follow Jesus. You know what? He jumped up and said, peace be still, and the waves laid down, and the storm quit, and we didn't have no more storms, and he said, I follow Jesus, so I'll have no troubles in life. No storms. Follow Jesus, man. Smooth sailing. Love, joy, peace. Everything's wonderful. Takes the storms out of your life. How many knows that? You follow, I mean, don't you all believe this? You follow Jesus, take the storms out of your life. Well, here's some more. I see a crowd headed down the road. Here comes old Tucker Carlson. What are you following Jesus for? Those folks down there said they're feeling follow Jesus because they can feel good. They don't go and have to go to the doctor and buy no medicine. Those folks said that makes their business successful, makes their finances good. These folks down there, they said it keeps them from storms and life and everything goes good all the time for them. What are you following Jesus for? Well, let me tell you, my son, he got awful messed up in drugs and went crazy, just crazy. Followed that old rock and roll and liquor and drugs and everything. Just went crazy. Said one day Jesus came. He was up there on the Gadarene Mountain. Said he's up there naked and crying, demon possessed, and drugs had messed his brains up. Said Jesus came by. Said when Jesus got done with them, our boy was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind and in church. Why do you follow Jesus for? So our kids will turn out right. I got to digress here just a minute. Did you pick that up all ago that I said that demon-possessed man, that crazy man, was naked? Did you know that crazy people go naked? You say, well, I don't go naked. I just go half naked. Then you're half crazy. I say that because I ain't going to go there. I had a little deal this week about that, you know. Nobody likes you to say anything sin, right? But anyway, I'm just saying this to you. They said, man, our boy got his life all straightened up. We're going to follow Jesus. So if kids turn out right. Word gets out. Man, live, you follow Jesus. Your medical bills will go down. You'll feel good. You follow Jesus. Your finances will be great. He'll bless your business, man. You follow Jesus. You'll have fun because all the troubles will be gone. No more storms in your life. You follow Jesus. Your kids are going to turn out right. Hey, what's that bus down there? Here comes some more folks. Where are you going? I bet you're going to follow Jesus. Yeah, we're following Jesus. What are you following Jesus for? Well, man, let me tell you something. We was up at a place the other day, and there was 5,000 men plus women and the children, and McDonald's closed on us. And Domino's wouldn't deliver. And the disciples said, well, we're going to do something to eat. They said, well, check to see if anybody's got anything. Somebody said, well, I got five loaves and two little fishes. And Jesus took those five loaves and two fishes and multiplied it and blessed it and fed the 5,000 plus their spouses and all the children, 20 to 25,000 people Jesus fed. We're following Jesus because we feeds us food. Our grocery bills, we don't have to worry about it. He'll feed you. You don't have to go to work. Let Jesus feed you. I believe I just heard a mouse burp in here. Did you all hear a mouse burping? What are you all so quiet about? You know what? I'm preaching hard. Looks to me like some of you men helped me preach. Amen. You don't know what to say amen over though, do you? Not yet. You know, listen to me. I'm going to ask you a serious question because I've had to ask myself. Circumstances in life will force you to ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Free food, follow Jesus. Family will get straightened out, follow Jesus. You'll have fun in life, follow Jesus. Won't be no more storms. Finances will be blessed if you follow Jesus. And you'll feel good. He heals people. You know what that sounds to me like? Exactly like the preaching going on in America. You think about the preaching that's the big wig deals going on in the United States. Jesus is a supernatural provider for freeloaders, according to listen to them. While they're preaching, you know, if you're sick, there's something wrong with you. Joyce Myers. By the way, that woman makes me sick. I suspect she's a lesbian. You don't act like she's got a weird spirit about her. Besides that, she's absolutely disobedient to Scripture. Bishop must be the husband of one wife. Women to keep silence in the church. You ain't heard her preach that lately, have you? Yeah. I mean, hey, I'm your pastor. You know one thing a shepherd's supposed to do is keep the bad weeds out of your life. And if you go, I'll tell you what, I come down 65 bypass and I could not hardly get through here about 2 or 3 years ago. And James River Assembly over on the left, and I mean, you could not get on the off ramps. Traffic was choked up. I thought, what on? And it was like, it wasn't Sunday night, it wasn't Wednesday night. I thought, what on earth's going on? I looked over in the billboard, Joyce Myers here tonight. Now, why would the traffic be so stopped up in Springfield to hear a false prophet, wicked wrestler of scriptures, who goes around telling people that if you serve Jesus, your finances are going to be good. You serve Jesus, you'll be healthy. You serve Jesus, everything's going to go right. You serve Jesus, all the storms will be gone. She has gotten stinking filthy rich off of people listening to her stinking lies. She is a wolf in sheep's clothing and a bad one, a she-wolf. You say, I don't like that. I got a preaching. You ain't been here long enough then because I preached like this before and I'm not stopping because you're here. Right. It's the truth. Sounds to me like Joel Osteen. You're going to have a wonderful day tomorrow. I just know you are. I have never in my life heard tell of him preaching on sin. Never once. I've never had somebody, I read, should have heard Joel Osteen preach yesterday. He's preaching on adultery. He's preaching on divorce. I am telling you something, that we've got the same situation going on in the United States right now in our churches that was going on the day of Jesus Christ. And people are, I guarantee if Joel Osteen got up and preached on sodomites, they'd get out of that place. They'd be looking for somebody to take, they'd be curtaining off some of the seats. That's right. If you got up and preached on sin, like sin really ought, I mean, be honest about it. Quit being so smooth. He is not doing nothing but greasing the slide to hell for people. Just greasing the slide to hell for people. It's the same thing going on that day. And you know what they thought? Oh, Jesus, man, if you follow Jesus, I'm telling you what, man, you're going to get your finances fixed up. You're going to feel good all the time. I mean, your family's going to get fixed up. I want to ask you, why are you following Jesus this morning? So you can get your electric bill paid? I've watched it over and over again in my life, this. Somebody gets sick. Oh, Reggie, pray for me. I'll tell you what, I know I ain't been living like off to, but oh, Reggie, I'll tell you what, if God get me through this, I promise you we're going to be a church. You know, 6 weeks later, they're doing fine, but you don't find them anywhere. They don't. It was just what Jesus could do for them physically, what he could do for them, for me. It's all about me, not him. It's that kind of Christianity that's going to tear us up. The same thing about marriage. Oh, that you pray for me. Why, my wife left me. Our marriage is in a wreck. Oh, God, if you'll get our marriage fixed up, we'll be in church every Sunday. Is that why you follow Jesus? To get your marriage fixed up? Oh, God, I got myself in financial trouble. Oh, Lord, if you'll get me out of this mess. Is that why you're following Jesus? I want to ask you a question this morning. I ask myself this question. I've been a little ornery preaching here, but I want this. It's time to face some. Every once in a while, we need to have a real good look at ourselves. If Jesus never heals you, will you still serve him? Amen. If they diagnose you with cancer, and you say, Reggie, would you bring the men over here? Would you bring all the church? Come over here and pray for me. Let me tell you, I've been in a hospital with a lot of people in 35 years. I've seen some awful godly people who walk with God, pray their hearts out in the waiting room. I've seen them with their faces on the floor, begging God, you can take everything I've got in the world, but please, God, don't take my loved one. And God took them. You still going to follow Jesus when God doesn't answer your prayers about healing? When he lets your loved ones die, you still going to follow him? Or are you going to say, well, I was told if you followed Jesus, he'd heal you. I believe in healing, but I believe in doing it like the New Testament church is supposed to. And that's call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and pray for them. And I want to tell you something about the Apostle Paul, who wrote that in the book of Timothy. He left some at Miletus sick, he said. God does not heal everybody. And by the way, it's appointed that a man wants to die. And one of the ways you're going to die is probably getting sick. Something's going to malfunction in your body. And I'm going to say another thing while I'm on this thing of healing. Let's just get real about it. If I had the gift of healing that these clowns claim they have, I would not waste my time throwing up a tent or having to rent an auditorium. I would go to Cox and I'd go to St. John's and I'd go wherever and I'd heal them all and clean that place out first. That's just a fact. I mean, we're just living. I never saw such deceptive people. I'm just going to be honest with you. Brother Ari, I'm at the point of where people are stupid. You think I'm going to your healing service and they go, you're going to pass a plate and sit there for 55, 60 minutes telling me how much money you need to take in the night, you know, while we're having this healing service? It's the craziest stuff I've ever seen in my life. But I'll tell you, people will do it if they think they can be healed. If Jesus never heals you, if you don't feel good, if he never makes you feel, I mean, if your headaches do not go away, if your back pain does not go away, you're still going to follow Jesus? If Jesus doesn't provide all the food you want all the time, you still going to follow him? If he doesn't provide all the finances, if he doesn't get you out of financial trouble and you stay pretty broke most of your life, you still going to follow him? These people didn't. And by the way, it was a vast majority of them. What about, well, I tried. I went to church and I tell you what, I asked God to fix my family situation up and it didn't work out. Don't tell me, don't ask me to go to church. Can I tell you something? If all this stuff I'm talking about, if that bothers you and you quit on God because of it, you were never following Jesus for the right reason to start with. You never were. And every person in this church, every person that you feel like you're a part of this church, you need to ask yourself a question this morning. Why am I following Jesus Christ? I'm just being honest. Now listen, Warren. You may say, well, I don't know why he has to say stuff about Joyce Myers. Because she's a false prophet. That's why. And you need to be warned about it. Because if you don't get some brains in your head, you'll be sending her a check for one of her little books to teach you how to be a rebellious woman against your husband. Now we're back in Luke chapter 9. I want you to look at it with me. There's something here. Something really good here. And it came to pass, verse number 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, he's going to feel good, get his finances taken care of. Family's going to turn out all right. Hey, I'll tell you something right now. I've been around the block a time or two. I've seen parents, they're faithful to be in this church house Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm telling you what I've seen. They'll be here and they'll work hard and they'll serve God and they're trying to do the best they can for God. And they love their children. They've tried to do the best they can by their children. And the children still go bad. Can I tell you kids something? It's you going to give account to God, not your mom and daddy. You are responsible for your life. You can get ticked off at your dad if you want to. You can get ticked off at your mom if you want to. But it's you that's going to give an account to God at the day of judgment. God's not going to come and say, when they bring me up and say, well, God, you need to go talk to all those people. I turned out like I did because of them. That is not going to fly. Why are you following him? If any man would come after me, I'll bless him financially. I'll make his family turn out good. I'll make sure he doesn't have any storms in his life. I'll make sure he's got free food all the time. I'll make sure he feels good and doesn't get sick. That is not what your Lord said. Look what your Lord said. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. And this is not preached in your country. This is not preached in this country. Self-denial is no longer preached in this nation. It's all about self. It's all about being self-fulfilled and self-esteem and self-this and self-that. When God says, deny yourself. If you want to really follow Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deny yourself. Do you know why there's not more preachers being called and answering the call to preach? Because they won't deny themselves. Pure and simple. You know why there's not more missionaries going to the mission field? You know why America used to send thousands of missionaries on the mission field? It's because they denied themselves and took up their cross and followed Jesus Christ. Look what it says. He said, if any man will deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. There it is. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deny some finances, deny some fun, deny some feel good. You say, Reggie, give me the first American missionary that America ever sent was named Adoniram Judson. He went to Burma and India over in that part of the country and he buried his wife on the trip in the water. Buried his child on an island before he ever got there. Lost his wife, lost his child. Going, you know what he could have said? Well, they told me if I'd be a missionary and serve God, everything would go great. I will tell you what, then he was arrested. He was tortured. They hung him up by his feet for days and days and days on end. He lost another wife, lost more children. He went out one day and dug his own grave. Set by it, begging God to kill him. Don't sound like much fun to me. But I want to tell you a little secret. And the reason I bring up Ed and I'm judging, this week I've been getting these deals from people and these pastors all over India and Nepal. And you know what I couldn't help but think? There was somebody by the name of Adoniram Judson who denied himself and picked up his cross and followed Jesus. And now, and I think about the Chinese, who's the great man over in Chinese, the missionary that went over to China and started the China Inland Mission. Huh? That's Africa. That's Africa. Who, can anybody help me? Huh? Hudson Taylor. Same thing. Right now, I'm telling you right now, the Korean people are on fire with God. They're literally on fire with God. You know why they're on fire with God? Because somebody like Hudson Taylor and somebody like David Livingston went into Africa. And I'm going to tell you another thing. I'm getting all kinds of deals from African pastors. I'm going to tell you something. It seems to me like those people, they're so far ahead of us spiritually right now, it ain't even funny. They call for days of prayer, days of fasting in their churches. They're dealing with demonic darkness and they don't have all the prosperity. And oh, our Jesus, the American Jesus, you follow him, finances, food, fun, everything goes good. And if it don't, we'll show Jesus, we won't show up at church. Are you going to follow Jesus when it all goes bad? He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, what's that cross mean to you? I want to tell you, certainly not something hanging around our necks or off the windshield of our car. A cross means pain. It means death to self. It means suffering. It means loss. It means agony. It means rejection. It means scorning. It means mocking. It means sorrow. That's what it means. Yeah. This is what the Lord, can I tell you something? We need to hear again in this generation that if we're, I'm going to tell you right now, they're projecting that by 2030, there will be enough Muslims in America to alter the presidential election. That is 13 years from now. Muslim has become the fastest growing religion in the world, and it's not by conversion. It is by birth. The ones that are moving into Europe that have taken over Europe right now are having on average 8 children, and the Europeans aren't even having an average of 1. Figure that one out in one generation. We're over here, we got to have fun. We ain't got time for kids. Takes money to raise kids. Takes sacrifice to raise kids. You have to deny yourself to have kids. Can't go to Silver Dollar City every time you want to. Can't go. We could have went on a cruise, honey, if we had not all these stupid kids. So while we're having fun, let the Muslims have all the kids and take the country over. Is that it? Yeah, it takes some self-denial. I'm not talking. Not everybody has to be a missionary. Not everybody has to. But I'm telling you this much. In everybody's life, there has to be a denial of self and a picking up of the cross and of carrying that cross. And your forefathers, somehow or another, they understood that. They wanted lots of kids in those log cabins. And they knew that those who populated the country and carried their faith in the country would determine what the country was. This is where the crowd thins out. if we're following for self-fulfillment. And I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus made that statement right there, one old boy got up and said to his wife, "Honey, get your purse. Let's go. If that's what this is about, I'm not sticking around." Another old boy, get the kids. I thought our finances were going to get better. Ever since I've been going to church up there, everything's been going south. I want to ask something. If your spouse leaves you, you're going to quit following Jesus? Between now and next week, your wife writes a note on the refrigerator and says, "Honey, I'm gone." You'll be getting notice of a divorce. You're going to quit serving Jesus? What were you serving Jesus for to start with? Your kid goes off the deep end 5 years from now, gets messed up in life, and you're going to say, "I tell you what, I went down there and I had Reggie Kelly preaching to him all those Sundays, and look what good it did." I can tell you right there, if that's your spirit, that's your attitude, you're in the wrong mode. I'm telling you, the wrong mode. You better be following Jesus for the right reasons. You need to tell your kids this. I'll tell you what, kids, if we ain't got any food in the pantry, if there's no gas in the car, if there's no stinking car to drive, and if you kids go off the deep end, I'm going to still follow him. You listen to me right now. Because I love him. Because I love him. There is no other reason for you in the world to follow him other than you love him. That's the highest thing. And by the way, do you know what will give you the victory over bad finances and messed up kids and seemingly no answer when your health's gone? Is when your children see you love him anyway. You see, the reason God may not be fixing some of these areas in your life is to test you, to let you know what's inside your own heart. And you know something that'll make this church strong? It'll make your family strong and make your personal life strong? Is to follow him because we love him. Now listen, I like for there to be a lot of people here. But I have to be following Jesus for the right reason. If half this church house gets empty on Wednesday night, I have to keep coming and doing what God's called me to do because I love him. If half you people get mad at me and leave or get mad at somebody else and leave, I have to still do what I'm doing because I love him. I can't say, "Well, I'm following Jesus as long as everybody shakes my hand, smiles, and says, 'Oh, Reggie, that was a good message.' I need to still follow him, Brother Bradley, whenever I go out the door and somebody says, 'I tell you one thing, that's the last time I'll ever come and listen to you preach.' Or I get some stupid letter in the mail, I get some stupid phone call, and somebody says, 'I tell you what, I ain't putting up that no more.' I need to still follow him because I love him and I want to serve him out of love, not because of people's flattery, their favor, their praise, or even their friendship." You got to get there. You know, I gave you a wild thought. I'm 63. How far am I from 70? What's 63? 63 from 70 is 7? Do you mean in 7 years I'll be 70?
Yep.
Can I give you some news? Before you can turn around, say Jackrabbit 42 times, Reggie Kelly's going to be in heaven. There's some of you parents are holding your children on your lap. By the time they're 18 years old, I'm going to be 80. That's how fast things are moving. And you don't want the only thing I want you to do? You may walk by my casket and say, "That sorry, worthless, low-down piece of scum. I finally wanted to wait the day I could see this." But I do want you to say, he followed them. Not for money, not for feeling good, not for favor, not for all that junk. He just followed him because he loved him. That's what's going to take. And that's what your kids need to see. If you really want things to turn out right, move from following Jesus for any other reason than you just love him. Give you this real quick. Right after that passage of scripture, you find out something happened. Jesus had Peter, James, and John. Now think about this. It's almost like Jesus drew a line in the sand at that verse and said, "If any man come after me," here's a line. "Any man come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross." Woo! Bunch of them walked up that line and says, "You mean I have to deny myself and pick up my cross to follow you?" Jesus said, "Yep, don't come across the line unless you're willing to do that." Did you know right after that, it's down to Peter, James, and John? A shocking, shocking thing from 25 to 30,000 people down to 3 men. But let me tell you a little secret and we're going to let you out of here. 8 days later, now this is weird. Not weird, but it's wonderful. 8 days later, what's the number of 8? New beginning. resurrection. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and takes them to the Mount Transfiguration. He said, you boys crossed the line. You was willing to forsake all, pick up your cross and follow me. I'm going to let you see something. And they saw Jesus Christ transfigured before their eyes. They were never the same again. I'm going to tell you a little secret. You are never going to see Jesus like you could see Jesus till you are willing to leave it all for his sake. Until your following him becomes for the right reasons. You're willing to be rejected by everybody if it has to be. You don't want that. May not happen. Probably won't happen. But you'll be willing to if it takes that to follow Jesus Christ. Don't get to see that. See, unless you come across that line and say, Lord, I ain't following you for the fishes. I ain't following you for the fun. I ain't following you for all this other stuff. That's over. I'm going to follow you if it loses everything I ever dreamed of being and everything I wanted in my life. If it costs me everything, Lord, I'm going to follow you. God will take you to reveal. He will reveal himself to you in such a way you'll never forget it the rest of your life. You say, Reggie, what are you preaching this message for? Because I sense in this country no commitment to Jesus Christ. There's no commitment. If it keeps feeding me, then I'll follow. But the day ever comes that Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, then there's this, honey, get your stuff, let's go. If you follow him, Jesus says he's not always going to heal you. Kids may not always turn out right. Storms of your life may not calm down. Pain may not be taken away. Food may not be free. Everybody may not like you. Sorrow and tragedy may be part of your life. And Jesus will test that out. Let's take it a little bit deeper. Are you going to follow Jesus even if he doesn't heal you, feed you, fund you, all that kind of stuff, finance you? Are you going to follow Jesus if the pastor irritates you? You going to follow Jesus if the brethren offend you? You going to follow Jesus if nobody appreciates you? Nobody says, hey, that was a good job, appreciate what you've done. Man alive, appreciate that. If your friends forsake you, if nobody recognizes you, you going to follow him? Or are you going to be like Jesus? Watch this. He turned to those disciples and said, will ye also go away? And here's your answer. To whom shall we turn? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Where can we go? You need to get this morning where you need to say this. Jesus, if you never bless me another day in my life, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I had to really ask myself, Reggie, I am going to level with you this morning that the night I got saved and surrendered to preach, if the Lord would have said, now, Reggie, before you do this, I want to show you some things that's going to happen. I want to show you some relationships you're going to lose. I want to show you some things that's going to cost you. I wonder if I would have went out the back door instead of went up to the altar. I'm glad he didn't tell me because I don't think I had the faith. And the truth about it is we don't have the faith nor the grace till each trial comes and each trouble comes to face them. But we really need to ask ourselves, why am I following Jesus? Is it because I was raised in a Christian home and that's the thing you're supposed to do? Let me tell you why I'm following him this morning. Please listen to me. I was a sinner headed to a devil's hell forever. And on that old rugged cross, he suffered for my sin and paid the sin debt that I had to God the Father in full. A debt that I could never pay, never could pay it. That's why hell's forever, friend. You ain't ever going to be able to pay your own sin debt. But my Lord Jesus, that day on that cross, if I'd have been the only sinner in the world, He died in my place for my sin. And I hope that the Lord has searched my heart this morning. I want him to know, dear God, by your grace, I'm going to serve you. Whether I've got a job or not, whether my kids turn out right or not, whether there's food in our pantry or not, Lord, whether I feel good or not. I got a good dear friend down in Arkansas that's got cancer bad, bone, liver, prostate. It don't look good. He wants to live. He wants to spend more time with his family. But he told me the other day, he said, Reggie, he said, I love the Lord. Whatever he does will be right. The judgments of the Lord are true and faithful altogether, true and righteous altogether. And I'm trying to lead you to a place this morning spiritually. Are you willing to step across the line this morning and say, Lord, I follow you. If there's no food, if there's no fun, if there's no family, if there's no finances, Lord Jesus, I just want you to know I follow you because I love you. And before you sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And before you sing, I surrender all, you better think this one through. Because I think this is where things are coming to in this country. If this country collapses economically, people are going to find out this false Jesus they've embraced. Well, let him go. I want you to have a faith today that says, no matter what, I'm going to follow him. So I want to put an imaginary line up in front of this church this morning, right at the front pews. I wonder this morning if you'd be willing to get out of your seat, if the Holy Spirit of God's dealt with you. And you say, Lord, Lord God, today, search my heart. You see, listen to me carefully. It wasn't the number of the crowds that bothered Jesus. It was the motive of the crowds that bothered Jesus. And I can promise you something about God. He will not let you get by with ulterior motives for following him, because he's going to have to deal with it at judgment. You see, the devil never tells you the other side of the story, but God always does. Yes, there's joy and there's peace and there's love and oh my, the blessings of serving the Lord are beyond count. But you know I'm telling you the truth. There's storms. There's sickness. The sun shines on the just and the unjust, and the rains on the just and the unjust. And we need to quit lying to people and telling them that if you follow Jesus, everything will be fine. That ain't true in this lifetime. What's it going to take to knock you out, huh? What's it going to take to knock you out? It may be that which God finds out that you were really following him for to start with. The pianist is here, and I'd like to just play it just softly. But you're here this morning, you'd want to tell God, Lord, I want to follow you. Would you slip out of your seat, wherever you're at? Lord, I want to follow you. I don't care if it costs me my finances, costs me my family, costs me fun. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to step across that line, Lord. I want my motives to be right. I want to come to church for the right reason on Sunday mornings. I don't want it to be just because I feel like I have to or I should or it's the thing to do. I want to follow you for the right reasons this morning, Lord. For the right reasons. I preached this to you, but boy, God preached it to me. Reggie, why do you do what you do? Just listen, if the Holy Spirit's at all dealing with you, I'd get out of that seat and I'd move and I'd say, God, I ain't trying to be nothing bigger. I ain't trying to be this, that, or the other, but I just want you to know, Lord, I want to follow you for the right reasons, not for what you can do for me, but because of who you are to me, because of your love. God bless you, sister. Would you come? Would you come? I want to follow you for the right reasons, not because our finances might improve, not so God would bless me financially. I want to follow God because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And because I love him, he's my Lord and he's my Savior. Boy, church, let's commit to following him for the right reasons. I've learned as a pastor, when you have to look in people's eyes and they say, Reggie, everything we work for is gone. We tried to serve the Lord. It's hard to answer people. You just have to say, listen, you just got to believe, you just got to trust. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we love you this morning. And I have never in my life, I've read a lot of books, studied a lot of things, Lord, but I ain't never read nothing like the Bible. That which searches the depths of a man's soul, examines his motives and his attitude, and searches the deepest part of who he is. Lord, today we need you. And Lord, I just told him to tell you, I like fun and I like finances. Lord, you know that. I like favor. I like food. I like the blessings. I like the goodness of the Lord. But Lord, I pray that that not be the reason that I follow you. That Lord, we'd be faithful. And we'd show up. And we'd be there because it's the right thing to do and because, Lord, we love you. I pray, Lord, for these folks that's come this morning. I pray, God, that you'll bless their prayers. Bless their hearts, Lord, their minds and their spirit and their soul, God, today. And Lord, I'm asking you just to hear them from heaven. Lord, please hear our prayer. Give us the grace of God to face the trials of life. And Lord, I pray this especially, that the devil, there'll be such a commitment here today that when the devil throws everything at us, when all the junk's been thrown at us and everything's fell apart, that we'll just still say, I'm still going to follow Jesus. I'm still going to follow him. I'm not turning back. And I'm not going back to town. I'm not going back to Egypt. Lord, remind us, hold us and help us. And I pray, God, today that at the end of this message, Lord, and this service will be a deeper commitment than when we walked into this place today. Lord, I know when that happens, there'll be a deeper joy and a deeper peace. Oh, God, today we pray that you bless this church and the ministries of this church. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.